I've already blamed Josh for the loss of my voice, but I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with him. So do we have any control freaks in the room? If so, would you join me in raising your hand? It's okay. The first step to recovery is admitting you've got the problem. Control freaks, control. It's safe to say there are a lot of us out there. I would suspect about half of us. And the other half of us just don't admit we have that part to deal with. But if you take a drive, where am I? Take a drive out Broadway. It won't take long to find someone who doesn't like sitting at a light. It won't take long to find that person waiting to turn left into Chop House after church. And this idea came from some church members this week. What about an airport? Yeah, enough said about that. There's literally no control when you go to an airport. There are too many variables that go south there when you're looking for control. What about your spouse? This is where I'm going to start meddling. What about your spouse? We like to try to control them, make them in who we want them to be instead of letting them become who they actually are. In Christ. What about our children? More meddling. We like to control their behavior, force them to be what we want them to be or think they should be instead of letting them discover who they are in Christ. What about other Christians? Yes, we try to control what they should do and what they should think, not leaving room for them to discover who they are in Christ, follow Holy Spirit, or discover where God is in the midst of their life's experience. It's much more comforting to make them interpret Scripture our way, or sing music the way we sing it, or pray the way we pray, or serve a certain population instead of the ones that we serve. Control. We like it. We like control because it makes us feel safe. Nothing can happen to us if we have control, right? We know what to expect. We know what we can expect. We know that nothing will happen to us if we don't want it to happen. We like that. It's comforting. That's why we like to control things. But even though we want that, deep down inside, we know it's impossible to have it. We'll inevitably find ourselves in a situation in which we have no control at all. Most of us then lose our Christianity, our Christ-likeness. We lose control of emotions. We lose control of ourselves. We damage relationships. We influence our success in the home, in our jobs, or at sports, even in our hobbies. We try to control God, too. But God is not controllable. Nor does God try to control you. That strange, paradoxical wonder we have there. God guides us and directs us through Holy Spirit, but allows us some freedom in that direction. We're not puppets. He allows us freedom. And we have a perfect example from Paul today in that passage we read in Acts 16, 6 through 10. Yes, Paul too was a control freak. But let's be more kind to Paul this morning and let's call him a great planner. A strategist, if you like. Or if you'd like to go ahead and call him a control freak to make you feel better about yourself or to identify with him, you go right ahead. That's what I'll do. Either approach works. Paul was really good at planning. Did you notice the plan he had in our passage today? Shaping the plan, working the plan. A strategist might be a really good word for him. He had a strategy. But then he learned when you make plans, there's another important aspect to that. You must pay attention to Spirit's direction. You must pay attention to Spirit's direction. This was a different way of life for Paul, a more terrifying way of doing life. Remember who he was before Christ. One that involved giving up control, this new life in Christ and living in the chaos of life long enough to see where God and how God might make some order out of that chaos. And this happened over and over and over and over in Paul's life. We see it in that passage today. Spirit told him to let go of his plan, to let go of his desire for control, and to trust Spirit to guide him where he needed to go and to the people that he needed to visit. Let's think about a few of those today, some from our passage, some from just the life of Paul that we've been studying in our series these few weeks. Paul was in Damascus. Paul had a plan, and he was working that plan. He was working his strategy. He was sharing Jesus with folks in the synagogue in different places like that, and he was endangering his life like a good apostle should do. Then Spirit so moved him and other Christ followers to be lowered in a basket to escape danger and not lose his life as the apostles expected them to do, to lose their life for the sake of Christ. Instead of that, Jesus' Spirit guided him to safety in order to use him in more ways than just in preaching in synagogues, which is highly desirable and highly impressive. But what Jesus would use him for was so much more. Paul found himself on many, many missionary journeys, each one filled with Paul's own plans and Paul's own strategy in which to share the love and word of Jesus. And often Spirit altered his plan. He used the plan but changed the plan, altered it, had a different plan. Think of our passage today. Paul all planned up a strategy to go to several different cities and share the love of Christ, half of which I probably mispronounced, or you couldn't understand me saying in our passage. He had a plan to go to these places. And city after city, Holy Spirit guided him elsewhere. He shut the door, as we say, which probably didn't make much sense to Paul, who had spent all this time planning this great strategy. Then it happens. Another vision. A vision of a man from Macedonia. Now this is an interesting vision. And there are many theories about what this vision was and what it meant. Some scholars believe that this vision was indeed Luke, who would be the writer of Acts and join Paul on all these many missionary journeys, writing down these experiences from his perspective. And others speculate that this vision of the man from Macedonia was of Alexander the Great, the man whose dream it was to marry the East and the West and make one united world. You catching the beautiful literary stuff going on here that Luke writes? Regardless, it's a beautiful writing that indicates this ideal of Paul paying attention the Spirit's direction. And this would work towards bringing the good news of Christ to the outer rims of the world, just paying attention to Spirit's direction. One world for Christ, that vision come to life. Vision from Holy Spirit. He made it in his practice to listen to Spirit. And he did this often, and it led him to great things. One such thing as guiding him to Lydia. Lydia, who helped him in the founding of the church that Paul loved most deeply and most dearly of all his church plants. Spirit guided him to her. Or how about all those unconventional plans that he had to reach Rome for Christ? Instead, Spirit had a different plan. He found himself a prisoner, and as such, he was able to begin a church in Rome, there in Rome, in the prison. He was able to begin church in the backyard of the very empire that Jesus spoke against, the household of Caesar himself, because he listened to Spirit's direction. He paid attention to Spirit's direction, and it took him places he never thought he'd go. And it took him to places in ways more powerful than he could have possibly imagined. Paul learned to pay attention to Spirit's direction. I've learned that lesson in my own life as well, and I'd like to share with you some of the things, a few of the many things that I've learned if you just pay attention to Spirit's direction. Yes, I love control, but it's when I've surrendered control that God has been able to take me to places that I've never thought I'd go. I thought I would be an industrial engineer. I even wrangled a scholarship to do this. But instead, Spirit would speak to me on a park bench at Texas A&M University and lead me to surrendering my life to vocational ministry instead. I thought I was going to move to Germany after I graduated Baylor to be a missionary. But instead, Spirit led me to a little town called Taylor, Texas, just northeast of Austin, where I would serve as a staff intern and learn a lot of the things that I still use today. That experience would also later open doors for me to attend seminary. I had my plan. Every church I came to, the ministry was lined up. To find a church, my goal was to find a church and to stay there the rest of my life. And over, Spirit would lead me to something else, particularly when I felt comfortable and in control. Early on, when people asked me what area of ministry I thought I might serve in, I always said, well, I'm not sure, but I know I'm not going to be a music minister. Guess what my first position was? Youth, and you guessed it, music. Music at a little church in Crawford, Texas, where when we said, see you next week, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we meant it. Because there was a creek that you couldn't cross when it flooded. And then there was that time I told Holy Spirit that there was no way I was moving my family halfway across the country to serve in a little community north of Knoxville. But Spirit guided me here anyway. And because I paid attention to Spirit, we have been thoroughly blessed by that. Not long ago, I felt led by Spirit to add a new skill set to my ministry, certification and licensure as a counselor. And it's certainly been an interesting journey so far. And I hope it's been helpful to others. But even this past week, Spirit has affirmed this plan in my life. From folk I've been able to help through this opportunity, folk I wouldn't have had the opportunity to help before. Folk who now see Christ in a new way. I've learned to listen to Christ's Spirit, especially in the hardest of times. A year ago, yesterday, as a matter of fact, we got news of my father's seizure, which eventually was determined to be caused by glioblastoma, a cancer in his brain. Guess what? I had a plan. I put together a strategy that would get me to his side. I had everything set up. I had a job. I had a way of finishing my internship. I had a place for Laura to work. I had a place for my family to live there in Texas. There was no way in my mind that I was not going to spend my father's last days away from him. But guess what? I listened to Spirit. And I showed up here on a Sunday, and Spirit spoke to me through your love, through your kindness, your words, your hugs, and Spirit told me, stay put. It's going to be okay. I'll lead you to bigger and better things. Stay put. I've got a lot more for you here. Plans to use you, plans to bless you, plans to bless others. And that's certainly been true. I've learned to pay attention to Spirit's direction. And God has made it better than anything I could have possibly imagined. Now, I want you to think about your own story. Think about it for a little bit. How do you practice listening to Spirit? Think of ways in which God has spoken to you and affirmed things in your life and challenged you to change things in your life. And as you do, I want you to think about some of these things that happen when we follow Spirit, when we pay attention to Spirit's direction. First, the Spirit life, the Christian life, is Spirit-led. You can make all the plans and strategies you want, but ultimately, you have to surrender those plans to God and allow God to shape them and make them what God wants them to be so that He can transform them into something bigger and better than you could possibly plan. Next, a lot of times, people don't understand what you are doing or why their plan or strategy isn't a better fit for you. They judge you and they tell you you should be doing something differently. It makes you feel alone. It makes you feel judged. It makes you feel confused. It makes you doubt what you're hearing Spirit say to you. It's a real thing. But in the hard stuff, in the chaos, it's when we are shaped in the image of Christ, and Christ's Spirit can take that and make order out of that chaos. It's in those moments of challenge and trial and chaos that we are shaped more powerfully into the image of Christ, and Christ will use us more effectively when we have no control who is doing all the work. Think of Paul in the prison. It's a powerful concept. Ultimately, we work hand in hand with Holy Spirit. And there's a passage in Acts 15, verse 28. I love this passage. I was talking with the first graders earlier about things. I would take one of those stickers and I would put it on this passage as one of mine to return to, because it gives me great comfort as I stumble through this. How do I listen and pay attention to Holy Spirit? Acts 15, 28 says, "For it seemed good to Holy Spirit and to us." It seemed good to Holy Spirit. Not we know it to be certain, but it seemed good and it seemed right and it seemed led by Spirit. But we don't know for sure because we're walking through this one step at a time, waiting to follow Spirit's direction. We've got a plan. And we feel Spirit is a part of that, very much so, which indicates this degree of we feel led, but Spirit just might move us to something else. Because we know that's how Spirit works. The problem is we don't like letting go of the control of our own plan to listen and pay attention to what Spirit is telling us. Many of us in this room know this very same thing. It's just a matter of practice. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of hope and belief in the process of paying attention to Holy Spirit. It's not always very cut and dry. It's not as specific as we want it to be. It's not as, here it is, black and white in your face. And it will certainly be a struggle to all of us who like control, who like safety, who like to know what's going on and where we're going next. But hey, at least it's not as stressful as a drive down Broadway or an experience that we've all had at airports. In the end, if we learn to pay attention to Spirit's direction, we often feel led in directions and to places we never would have imagined on our own, be it geographic, be it work, be it our own emotions, our beliefs, our commitments. And in the end, Paul would say to you, Paul would say to us, such a life is a good life. Such a life is a good, good, good life. We can't have control over things anyway. Why not just do that? Give control over to Spirit for guidance. Give what you have to Spirit for guidance. Paul would say it is indeed the only way to live a full and abundant life in Christ. So today and every day, pay attention to Spirit's direction. If you do, you might find yourself living more and more like Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, We confess to you our need for comfort and control. We confess to you our desire to have things simple, to have things without any difficulty along the way. But God, when we pay attention to Spirit's direction, we know that's just not the way it works. When we try to control things, we just end up stuck in a place that we don't want to be. So Lord, give us the strength to hear you, to see you, to find you in the midst of everything, so that you can bring order to our life, that we might be taken places that we never would have gone without you. We ask this in Jesus' name, his Holy Spirit that gives us this direction. Amen.